of worship. Thank you, Pamela, for playing along as we had communion together. So I just got back from this men's retreat that I go to. I try to go to every year. Some of the guys here have gone with me, and that the reason why I go is that I discovered, even at my own surprise, how impactful it is to get away. You know, the, people say you shouldn't use the word retreat, but I disagree. Sometimes we have to just retreat, step back a few paces, and kind of get an understanding of where we're at, right? And we can do that in many ways. We could do that right here as we have our worship time together. But what I've learned is that I'm when I'm in my routine, which nothing wrong necessarily with a routine, I miss stuff. And so several years ago, this buddy of mine talked me into going to this retreat in Colorado, and my life was changed. It was, I believe, because of that event that God called me into full-time ministry. I mean, it just the ripple effect still continues today. So I go back, and this time I was able to bring my brother-in-law Tim, who I've been inviting for years, and he finally was able to make it. And then, of course, Isaac, who lives in that area, my youngest son, he joined us as well. As we go, we see people that we've met before, acquaintances that we've made over the years. One of those is Wayne Weissman. Some of you know who Wayne is. He's been here. He's preached here in this church. He's also been a key speaker at our men's retreat that we have every year at Northeast Ohio Retreat Center, which we're going to again in October, October 3rd and 4th, 2025 at the Northeast Ohio Retreat Center. Okay, guys, I want you to remember that. Don't look at me. Look at that, okay? Okay, remember the screen. Okay, October 3 and 4, 2025. And now find someone close to you who's administratively minded and say, remind me about 2 months before this, okay? And that'll typically probably be most of your wives that were doing that. But Wayne's going to be there for that particular event. He will be there. Also will be Ed Uzinski, who's been there before. And the reason why we bring these guys back is they do a great job, amen, right? And the goal is to walk away more ready for what God has in store for us, right? Because, you know, after October 3 and 4 comes October 5. And the calendar keeps on going from there. So we meet people that we've seen before over the years. We also meet new ones. For example, I met someone named Lefty. Now, Lefty's a biter. And you're right, Lefty's not a person. He's a horse. I went horseback riding for the first time in I don't know how long, and I've convinced myself I will not do that again. Lefty had a flat back, and as a result, the saddle would go back and forth, no matter how they tightened it up. And I would be on there, and they'd say, oh, just push on the left leg. So I'd be going like this and pushing the left leg, going like this, pushing with the right leg. It was a chore. I just didn't enjoy it. Lefty was very kind to me because he couldn't reach back and bite me, you know. But that was an experience that reminded me again why I go out there, because we went up in the hills and we saw the beauty of the Rocky Mountains. It's on the backside of Pike's Peak. It's just stunning. God's creation is stunning. And, you know, and then I got up this morning and saw the stunning creation of Northeast Ohio. You know, and I know some of you go Northeast Ohio, the weather always changes. You haven't been to the mountains. I mean, they change all the time. But it was good to be home. And I got home late because I try to get a flight that is nonstop, because I'd rather not make stops along the way. And the only nonstop that lands here or in Cleveland at 20 till 11. That was yesterday's time, which is a little later this time. And my flight was delayed by an hour. So I didn't get to bed till like 2 this time. My time zones are all messed up. But anyway, I was thankful that we went and thankful for the teaching. Wayne Weissman in particular offered some teaching on something that's very near and dear to me and to us, and that is the kingdom of God. right? The kingdom of God has a king. And the kingdom of God's king, what's his name?
Jesus,
right? Jesus, the Messiah. And that's what we're going to continue doing today. We're going to walk through these seven signs that are found in John that point to the Messiah. And so if I could get someone to come help me. Quentin, would you come and read? Quentin, and please stand. And he's going to read from John chapter 4, beginning in verse 46. If you could stand up here, buddy. Thank you.
Okay, John chapter 4, verse 46 through 54 says, "Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come to heal his son, who was close to death. 'Unless you people see signs and wonders,' Jesus told him, 'you will never believe.' The royal official said, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' 'Go,' Jesus replied, 'and your son will live.' The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time that his son got better, they said to him, 'Yesterday, at 1:00 p.m, the fever left him.' And then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live.' So he and his whole household believed. This is the second sign that Jesus performed after coming to Judea to Galilee.
Well done. Thank you, Quentin. Actually, you can put it right down there, buddy. So the question is, do you trust Jesus to heal today? Yes. Now, we can say yes pretty quickly. But hopefully, as we go through this story, you'll be able to put your feet in the sandals of this man who had to do more than just believe. He had to trust and move forward. So let's talk about this idea of a distance. Jesus healing from a distance. His travels included, after we studied last week, that he was in Cana of Galilee. And he did an incredible miracle. Do you remember what that miracle was? Turn water into wine. This was the first sign, as we read in John, of his messiahship, his role as the Messiah. We learned last week that Jesus is better, Jesus is greater, and Jesus is abundantly more. Right? That's a great time to say amen right there. And such lessons continue. Right after that, he went to the temple in Jerusalem. And this is what happened there. I'm going to read that for you. This is in John chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. "The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, 'Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade.' His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.' So the Jews," this is the Jewish leadership watching on, "said to him, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' In that time, in that moment, as he overturned the tables, he was bringing justice, authority, and a sign, even in that moment. So what happened was, this was the Passover feast. There are three feasts that are required for a Jewish male to come to Jerusalem. And that meant also his family would also come. So Jerusalem is packed out in Passover time. And when they come for Passover, they have to either bring a Passover lamb or purchase one while they're there. And so some of the poorest of poor could not afford such a thing. And so they would come into the temple looking to purchase a lamb. And the people there, as I understand it, the Jewish leadership, really the high priests, were selling diseased and not very pleasant lambs. It's supposed to be the best of the best lambs, but they would sell the poorest. And on top of that, they, being the people of Judah, would come in with their money, but they had to exchange the Roman money into temple money. And that, if you've ever flown internationally, you'll know that they get you when you have to do that, when you have to exchange funds. Not only do you have to barter with their rate of exchange, but also an exchange fee. So they were stealing from, the wealthy were stealing from the poor right there in the temple. Jesus comes in there, sees the injustice, and begins overturning the tables. In fact, that has crept into our lexicon, hasn't it? In our cultural descriptions, we say, oh, the tables are turned. You ever heard of that? Well, now you know where it came from. And so Jesus not only did that, but he also gave them a sign. They asked what sign. They missed it. He gave them a sign. And the sign was that the Messiah had arrived. The Messiah was here. He had authority over that temple, because the Son of God was present. You see, when we say Messiah, we say anointed one in English. The Messiah is the Jewish term. And then the Greek term is Christus, or we say Christ. So when we say Jesus Christ, we're really saying Jesus Messiah. We sang that last week as we closed out our service. And when we say Messiah, we say Christ. We say anointed one. We also say he's the king. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. All these phrases point to the same person. And who's that person? Jesus. Exactly. And Jesus, in that moment, not in word, but in action, said, the Messiah you've been waiting for is right here. And this is what the Jewish leaders had to take in. They saw the signs, and so did the people. People, again, were packed in for the Passover. They saw what was going on there. After Jesus left there, he went into Samaria and visited a Samaritan woman at the well along with her village. Now, the Samaritans were the northern tribes of Israel that had been taken into captivity by the Assyrians several centuries before. But when they came back with others outside of the Jewish faith. And according to the Jews, the Samaritans were less than them because they didn't have a pure faith or a pure religion. And the Jews looked down on the Samaritans, even though they were all of Israel. Although they were the ones to whom Jesus was sent, the Jews hated the Samaritans. Jesus announced to one Samaritan woman at the well that he indeed was the Messiah they've been waiting for. And the Samaritans therefore welcomed Jesus, and many came to salvation. Many came to faith in him. The Samaritans believed, but the Jewish leaders to whom Jesus was sent refused him. Then from there, Jesus goes into Galilee, and the same kind of thing happens. Some were present in Jerusalem and welcomed them. I'll read that. John 4:45 says, this is just before where Quentin was reading. So when Jesus came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast, but recognized that they didn't believe him necessarily, but they welcomed him in order to hear him. Which brings us to our story. The official and his son. There are four major groups of Jewish leaders. There are the Pharisees. The Pharisees are those Jewish leaders. They are wealthy, but they are kind of the layman version of the high priests. They don't hold a specific office, but they have a great deal of control, a great deal of power. So you have the Pharisees. They believe, by the way, in the resurrection. Then you have the Sadducees. The Sadducees are actually placed by Rome into the church, into the temple for uh, the job of a high priest or the priestly duties. These Sadducees did not believe that there would be a resurrection, and that is why they are Sadducee, right? Now you know. You know the difference between the two. So you had the Pharisees, the Sadducees. You also had the scribes, and these were people who were trained over years to accurately write down each letter of the Hebrew alphabet in the law and the prophets, all of the Old Testament. They were very careful to do that, and as a result of their training, had a great deal of power. And then the last were the Herodians. Say that with me. The Herodians. You can imagine where they come from. They come from the family or the rule of Herod. When Jesus was born, there was an evil guy. What was his name? Herod. But he was King Herod. King Herod had several children. He killed some of them out of jealousy. But the ones that survived, one of them was Herod Antipas. And Herod Antipas was living at the time of Jesus. He was the governor over Galilee. They call that tetrarch. He was the one in charge over Galilee. Anyone who worked for him was a Herodian. And by and large, although they were leaders within the Jewish people kind of looked down on them. Why? They had two strikes against them. One is they were very tight with the Romans. Secondly, that they were not ethnically Jewish. They were from the tribe of Edom, or the people of Edom, or Esau. If you know your Bible history, there was Abraham, Isaac, and Isaac had twins, Jacob and Esau, right? This official was a Herodian. And as a result, the Galileans looked down on him. And so when Jesus is talking with this official, he's actually also talking to those who are listening in. As they were watching all this happen, they being the Galileans, they were expecting Jesus to say, no, I'm not going to heal you, or ignore him and move on. But instead, he says, so that you'll know who I am, so that you'll know you have a sign, here's the sign. And he healed that official's son. So let's talk more about the sign. The Jews, the Samaritans, the Herodians, everybody were waiting for the Messiah to come. They looked for specific signs, including the wine that was created in our lesson last week. So again, Jesus gave them a sign. The official's request was, sir, come down before my child dies. Sir, come down before my child dies. Now, for a healer to heal, let's say you will go to a healer. Do you expect them to walk away from you, or do you expect them to tell you to leave, or do you expect them to somehow lay hands on you? Do you expect that? Some, you know, like get out the anointing oil, or, you know, put their arm around you. Let's talk. Let's heal, right? Nothing like that happened. There was an expectation of a personal interaction. Maybe like they did in the, and we'll cover this in John chapter 9 later, where Jesus washed the guy's eyes, right? Or put mud on the eyes. Some sort of physical touch. But Jesus, and this is part of the sign, healed from a distance. Say that with me. Jesus healed from a distance. He said this, go, your son will live. There's two parts. One's a command, one's a statement. Go, your son will live. And so, if you're taking notes, remember this, that this is a key part of the sign, that Jesus has the power and the presence to heal from a distance. In this, he shows himself to be the Son of God, because God is eternal. God is all-powerful. We want to share some attributes that God has that we're able to share. For example, God is gentle. It's a good idea for us to be gentle, right? God is loving. A good idea. You should be loving. But God is omnipresent. Can you be omnipresent? Shake your head like this and you'll be right too. You can't be omnipresent. Can you be all-powerful, though we'd like to be? No. Are we all-knowing? No. Okay. We would think, some of us think we are all-knowing, but we're not. Jesus demonstrated in this moment that he is not only omnipotent, all-powerful, but also omnipresent, always and ever present. Now, for a moment, stop and put yourself, if you can, in the official's sandals. You're standing there. You've only heard that Jesus is an all-powerful healer. You don't know that for sure he's the Messiah. He doesn't have the advantage that you and I have, looking back in history and going, oh, that's Jesus. In the moment, all he knows is this one thing, and that is his son is dying. We need to shake off the fog of familiarity here, guys, because sometimes we blow past these stories and we don't remember that these are real people making real choices, facing real consequences. And here we have it. He's standing there. His expectation was that Jesus would come with him. Maybe he promised his wife, I'm an official, he's coming with me. Guys, you ever promised your wife something and it didn't happen? You dreaded going home? Anyone? Right? He has to agree, doesn't he? I mean, this is my son. Can you imagine the desperation that he felt in that moment? My son's dying, and he can solve the problem, and he's telling me something that I didn't expect to hear. Jesus has changed the plans. Does that sound familiar? Has Jesus ever changed your plans? Oh, yes. Yesterday, actually, because my flight was delayed an hour, and I got in so late. I mean, I'm not going to blame that on Jesus, but he was there. I'm sure of it. So you have a choice, just like this guy, this official. You have a choice. Will you believe it or not? He could have refused. I don't know if you were in our discipleship groups at 9, but one of the questions, I know you guys get to one or two questions. You don't get the whole thing. But one of those questions was about Naaman, who was a Syrian official who had leprosy. And he went to Israel to get healed. And it didn't go like he thought it would. He had expectations that there'd be something, but the expectations was different. Here we have the same kind of thing. We have an official who expects Jesus to go with him to heal his son. And instead, he gets a different plan. A command and a statement. Loved ones, faith is demonstrated in obedience. I'll say it again. I'm going to say it twice more. Faith is demonstrated in obedience. Faith is demonstrated in obedience. If the official truly believed, then he must go. He must obey. What would you do? And that is a very unfair question, because we won't know. We're not there. But I think we could try. Try to understand what decision would we make. Now, the second part of the sign is this, that the Messiah has come for all of us. And for that, we can say, praise God. See, the Jews thought it was just for them. Surely not the Samaritans. The Galileans thought it was only for them. Not those Herodians. Not those traitors. Now, it is true that the Messiah came to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles, the Greeks. If we have that verse here, can we read this together, please? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or also to the Gentile. Do I have any Gentiles here? Okay. Aren't you glad? Right? That was the surprise. That was the mystery that Paul talks about later in his letters. That although it was predicted and prophesied in the Old Testament, they didn't get it. The Jews didn't get it. They thought it was all, the Messiah was coming only for them. But instead, he came for the world. For God so loved the world. That is super good news. When Jesus said to the official, go, your son will live, I could see him looking at the Galileans and seeing their puzzled expressions. Like, what just happened? Is this guy actually healing our Herodian's son? Yes, Jesus says, even the Herodians will be saved. Even the East Canton Church of God will be saved. Amen. So the outcome. It doesn't say whether the Galileans in that moment believed, although we see it in other places in Scripture that they believed. But who did believe? We see that not only was the son healed, but the official and all his household believed. See, signs come so that people will believe. Last week, we said that the sign of the wine coming from water, it came so the disciples would believe. So here we see that the official, this despised man from the Galileans, his son was healed, and he and his son and his whole household saw what happened and believed. Every time they saw that son smile and run and play and work, could they remember the story? Remember when he was almost dead and then he wasn't? That Jesus healed. What else will Jesus have to do in our lives before we'll truly trust him and obey? It takes faith, loved ones. Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God who came down from heaven to earth to die for your sins and for mine. All according to the Scriptures. And then he rose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, giving us, you and me, this incredible hope, incredible grace of forgiveness, of salvation, eternal life as we repent and believe. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. Jesus is the King. And Jesus is the Healer. Jesus is the Creator. He's the King of the Jews and the King of his kingdom, his church. In your notes, Jesus is healer, all-powerful, always present. Jesus is healer, all-powerful, always present. This sign, this miracle, changed the lives of the official and his household. And this is what Jesus does. And this is what we talked about here with this song. It just, when you come to saving faith in Christ, it just doesn't stop there. That's just the start. It continues on. I spoke with a young man at this retreat. He and his wife just had a baby about a year or so ago. And I was asked, oh, that's great. He's a friend of my son. And I said, so any plans for more? You know, are you thinking about doing that? I said, oh, it'll happen. We're not, you know, in a hurry for it. But then he teared up and was telling me about a couple that he knows. There are actually three couples, and all of them have struggled with the same kind of problem with their baby. And two of them have lost their children, and one is still waiting. And it looks like something like anencephaly, which my first grandchild suffered from and didn't survive. And so it's not something that is going to be successful without a miracle, let's put it that way. And so they're praying for a miracle. He's looking for one. Do you believe that God still does miracles today? Yeah? I hope so. You know, we've been praying for Debbie Tallman in this knee surgery, right? And by the way, the doctors do a great job. But can I tell you that doctors can only work within God's creative power? Because God creates... I don't know if you know this, but God created you, created your body exactly like it is. You may have differing opinions on how he could have done something different, but God created you. And so God created Debbie, and when they put that new knee in, they knew exactly how to do it because they knew the body and how it will heal itself. Who's doing the healing? And listen, doctors and caregivers are incredibly talented and praise God for them. But God is the one, loved ones, who heals. Terry Moore, we were praying for him, had successful hip surgery. Who healed him? Who's healing them? God is. Doctors help, for sure, but Jesus heals. Who is Jesus the healer to you? Now, we just learned that in terms of distance, Jesus is not confined to time or place, right? When I was in Denver praying that the plane would come, right? Jesus was with me. And back in Canton or in Plain Township, someone else was praying. Sherry was praying, right? Do you think Jesus was in both places? I think so, right? And you know what? Check this out. I was praying, and okay, so I pray, but I also get on the phone with United saying, is there another option, right? And they just told us that the plane that had all our luggage in at the gate was not going to work. I mean, it was out of service. So great, you know, I could take, I mean, am I getting back tonight? I didn't know. And they say, we have a new gate, go to A14. So we were at A22, just down the road. So I go down the road, and I look, and it's the gate's empty. I'm like, oh, man. And then a plane comes up and parks right there at the gate. Jesus was with me. Praise God. Jesus is not confined to time and space. And so when Jesus says, go, are you going to trust him?
Yes.
You're going to trust him. I'm praying now for people, loved ones, who have refused Jesus. Will I be surprised when they come to a saving faith? I hope not. But I have to confess to you, there's times, and maybe you've done it too, someone comes to saving faith and you go, well, I never saw that one coming. Right? I tell you what. Well, I think I've told you that story. I was with my at my dad's 80th, and one of his friends comes up to me and goes, so you're a pastor. I was ready for him to ask for ID. There's some people, right, we just don't. We pray for them, but do we really believe that Jesus can heal them? And healing is beyond physical, of course. We're talking about spiritual healing. What about those who I've given up on? Maybe you've given up on. The Galileans, it seemed, had given up on the Herodians. They're too tight with the Romans. They'll never believe. And yet, one of the officials and his household believe. And if you believe too, you might meet them one day. The Jews gave up on the Samaritans. They are too far gone theologically anyway. But an entire village was forever changed. Who have you given up on? Maybe a wayward family member. Maybe that guy you knew in high school. Like, there's no way. I got a messenger message just this past week from a guy that I didn't think of this, but I didn't expect him to come to faith, and he's like sending me Jesus stuff. Like, praise God, right? A fellow student, maybe. Maybe a fellow employee. An employer. My boss come to faith? That's not going to happen. Maybe so. Maybe he will. Maybe it's a relative, a cousin, a brother, a sister, a parent, a child. Think of someone today. Think of someone who you believe would be difficult to come to Jesus. And remember this, that Jesus can save every wayward soul. Anyone who comes to him in repentance will be saved. So what do? We pray for God's grace. For God's grace to open up the mind and the heart of the wayward soul. Don't write off anybody. Jesus has the power and the presence to save and to heal. Now, there were those in that village that Jesus probably did not heal. He didn't heal everyone. Not that he couldn't, but he didn't. See, this is also the Son of God who sees stuff that we don't, who sees what we do not, whose plans are not our plans, whose thoughts are not our thoughts. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, many of you know this maybe by heart. For my thoughts, this is God talking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Make no mistake, Jesus can heal. And so, now, get back in the sandals of that official, and Jesus says, go, and your son will live. Would you go? Are you prepared to believe today that Jesus has your best in mind as he changes your plans? What healing are you looking for today? Maybe it's a physical healing. Got a tough call from the doctor for you or for your loved one. Are you praying for healing? More than that, are you asking others to pray for that healing? But healing, as we've talked about before, is more than just spiritually or physically healing. It's also spiritual healing. Anyone here been healed from addiction? Anyone else healed from a long-lasting hurt, a trauma in your life that God healed you from? How many here have experienced healing of a relationship? You never thought that we would ever be friends again, and here we are. Not just friends, but brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, loved ones, there are at least three answers to prayer. Yes, no, not yet. So how many of us are in the not yet right now? That God hasn't answered the prayer in the way that we even expect. Until you get an answer, loved ones, don't stop praying. And as one philosopher put it one day, don't stop believing, okay? Some of you will get that later. The challenge is today, the challenge I have you today is to write down today somewhere in your journal, maybe in the notes section of your worship folder, write down the healing you're asking for. Either maybe your healing, maybe healing of a relationship, maybe healing of others, maybe someone who in their past refused Christ, but you know that they know and that God just has to open up their mind. Write down that word. And it may be a name that you're not very happy with. Remember, we are to love our enemies too. Who knows that God may be calling you to pray for the healing of your enemy's life. Look for and pray each day for God's answer to that prayer. In your notes, Jesus is healer, all-powerful and all-present, always present. Jesus is healer, all-powerful and always present. Loved ones, there is no hurt, no disease, no illness, no addiction, no relationship that God cannot heal. Trust him and obey him. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing a few hours sleep not to get in the way of your word. I thank you that your son is still in the healing business. I thank you that you care so much about us that you're willing to tell us to go and trust you. Thank you for loving us. Lord, if there's anyone here who needs that healing touch, I pray that you would bring them forward so they can be healed. If there's anyone here who has a need of healing or someone else in their family does, that they would earnestly pray, earnestly seek your face and your healing power. And Father, for all those that are represented here in this room and online, all those who we love and don't know you yet, I pray that you would open up their hearts, even now as we pray, by your grace, to receive the good news of your Son, his death on a cross, his resurrection from the dead, and his place at your right side, your right hand interceding for us. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. If there's anyone here who would like to pray, on my left or right is a place you can pray, and no one will pray with you. You want to just pray by yourself. If you want someone to pray with you, come over here on my right, your left, and someone will do just that. Please stand, and let's sing together.
Turn your
chorus, please, again.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
As you leave this place, remember, Jesus is indeed the healer, one you can trust every single day. God bless you. Go in his peace.